Read your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 1 Chronicles chapter 27. First Chronicles chapter 27, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now the children of Israel, after their number, to wit, the chief fathers and the captains of thousands and hundreds, and their officers that served the king in any matter of the courses which came in and out month by month throughout all the months of the year of every course, were 24,000. Over the first course for the first month was Jashabiam, the son of Zabdiel, and in his course were 24,000. Of the children of Perez was the chief of all the captains of the host for the first month. And over the course of the second month was Dodai the Ahoite, and of his course was Mikloth, also the ruler, and in his course likewise were 24,000. The third captain of the host for the third month was Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, a chief priest, and in his course were 24,000. This is that Benaiah who was mighty among the 30 and above the 30, and in his course was Amizabad, his son. Excuse me. The fourth captain for the fourth month was Asahel, brother of Joab, and Zebediah, his son after him, and in his course were 24,000. The fifth captain for the fifth month was Shamhut, the Israelite, and his course were 24,000. The sixth captain for the sixth month was Ira, the son of Ikesh the Tekoite, and in his course were 24,000. The seventh captain for the seventh month was Helez, the Pelonite, of the children of Ephraim, and in his course were 24,000. The eighth captain for the eighth month was Sibbekai, the Hushathite, of the Zarhites, and in his course were 24,000. The ninth captain for the ninth month was Abiezer, the Anethotite, of the Benjamites, and in his course were 24,000. The tenth captain for the tenth month was Mahare, the Netophathite of the Zarhites, and in his course were 24,000. The 11th captain for the 11th month was Benaiah, the Pirathonite of the children of Ephraim, and in his course were 24,000. The 12th captain for the 12th month was Heldai, the Netophathite of Othniel, and in his course were 24,000. Furthermore, over the tribes of Israel, the ruler of the Reubenites was Eleazar, the son of Zichri, of the Simeonites, Shephatiah, the son of Ma'akah, of the Levites, Hashabiah, son of Kemuel, of the Aaronites, Zadok, of Judah, of the Aaronites, Zadok. Of Judah, Elihu, one of the brethren of David, of Issachar, Omri, the son of Michael, of Zebulun, Ishmaiah, the son of Obadiah, of Naphtali, Jeremoth, the son of Azrael, of the children of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Azaziah, of the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joel, the son of Pedaiah, of the half-tribe of Manasseh in Gilead, Iddo, the son of Zechariah, of Benjamin, Jaasiel, son of Abner, of Dan, Asareel, the son of Jeroham. These were the princes of the tribes of Israel. But David took not the number of them from 20 years old and under, because the Lord had said he would increase Israel like to the stars of the heavens. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, began to number, but he finished not, because there fell wrath for it against Israel, neither was the number put in the account of the chronicles of King David. And over the king's treasures was Azmaveth, son of Adiel, and over the storehouses in the fields, in the cities, and in the villages, and in the castles, was Jehonathan, the son of Uzziah. And over them that did the work of the field for the tillage of the ground was Ezri, the son of Kelub. And over the vineyards was Shimei, the Ramathite. Over the increase of the vineyards for the wine cellars was Zabdi, the Shifmite. And over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was Balhanan, the Gederite, and over the cellars of oil was Joash. And over the herds that fed in Sharon was Shitrai, the Sharonite, and over the herds that were in the valleys of Shaphat, the son of Adlai. Over the camels also was Obil, the Ishmaelite, and over the asses was Jedeah, the Meronothite. And over the flocks was Jaziz, the Hagirite. All these were the rulers of the substance, which was King David's. Also, Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a wise man, and a scribe. And Jehiel, the son of Hachmoni, was with the king's sons. And Ahithophel was the king's counselor, and Hushai, the Archite, was the king's companion. And after Ahithophel was Jehoiada, the son of Benaiah, and Abiathar, and the general of the king's army was Joab. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, we find out some things here in the book of Chronicles that we did not learn in our reading of the book of the four kings. We find that some of David's mighty men, some of the three, and then the second three, and then the 30, were over a particular portion of the king's army, one of those 12 courses that came to Jerusalem to guard Jerusalem 1 month out of each year, and then they went back to their own places to be stationed there in the army. Okay? So there was some information here of David's kingdom that we didn't understand when we read through 1 Samuel, 2 Kings, because it wasn't mentioned there. But let me just ask you just to step up from this, and as we like to do in our readings rather than in our preaching, let's get an overview of this passage and just think with me for a moment about the passage and tell me what the first thing that comes to your mind is. Is it not that David indeed had a well-ordered kingdom? That he had men in charge over the things that needed to be watched over? That David, as the king, was a great administrator as well? That he was not a micromanager, but he put men in charge over the vineyards, over the oliveyards, over the flocks, over the picking and storing of all of that? That he had the 24,000 that took their turn guarding Jerusalem and all of its treasures and so on? And I mean, this is a picture of a well-ordered kingdom, is it not? Okay, well, we can make some application from that, can we not? David, as a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, do not we expect the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ also to be well-ordered? Now, we think of that and we think, well, you know, Pastor, you look at the church and it doesn't seem to be well-ordered. I mean, we have Presbyterians and Baptists and Methodists and all these other people. Then we have those that have no real profession of faith because they're so far outside the pale, like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and so on. And the church really looks to be like it's in disarray instead. Well, let me ask you this. One of the guys that was caring for the asses out in the field, do you think that he would have seen all of the order that had taken place out in all of the kingdom of David, such that he might have confessed, wow, this is a well-ordered kingdom? No, he might have thought, man, these donkeys are unruly. This is an unruly kingdom. Right? In other words, sometimes our perspective, because it's ours, we think that it's the only perspective there is. And we have a difficulty with that. It's like we hear when we think about the providence of God, maybe you've heard this illustration. Some of you like tapestries. You know, you see them on the wall and they're just an amazing piece of work. And you think of all the hours and the organization that's gone into that tapestry. And you think, wow, whoever did that? Organized, talented, disciplined, and so on. Now turn the tapestry over and what do you see? What does it look like from the backside? Well, that different perspective helps us, doesn't it? When we look at a tapestry from the backside, it looks like a mess. But when we look at it from the front side, and so, can I say it this way? That when the ordering of the kingdom of Christ seems to us to be in disarray, that's because we don't see it as he sees it. We don't see everything that he's doing and everything that he's working in it. And so, as David had a well-ordered kingdom, let us not draw back because of our own perspective and say that the King of Kings does not have a well-ordered kingdom. Truly, He does. It is only our perspective that keeps us from seeing how well-ordered truly it is. And that's not to say that that's through negligence on our part. Because He is an omniscient King, the ordering of His kingdom is according to His omniscience. And it's beyond our ken. It's beyond our ability. But let us not say because it's beyond our ability then that it's somehow not real. It's somehow not there. It most certainly is. And so as David made use of many of those mighty men in the ordering of His kingdom, let us pray, as we heard in the last chapter, that the Lord would raise up mighty men of valor that would be the guards of Jerusalem, that would be that first line of defense against the gainsayer, that they would be the preachers of the Word of God, those who labor in word and doctrine, pushing back against the errors that would invade Jerusalem. And let us remember that as time goes on, one course gives way to another, so it's not enough for us to have one course. And so we continually pray in this church that the Lord would raise up that second course of ministers and elders from our numbers and from others so that the Lord would provide not only for CCRPC, not only for the RPCGA, but for all like-minded denominations and churches, that the Lord would give us course by course by course, time after time after time, year after year after year, and generation after generation, that the Lord would grant us a faithful ministry. Right? And so that's, again, another application that we can make from our reading of 1 Chronicles chapter 27. All right, well, let's continue in praise to God by standing.